I want to say it's good to be back in the Lord's house. Brother Miller was speaking just a while ago about when he was on the mission field of going to different places and how that they would have the programs and they'd have the things that they were going to do listed in order. I've been there in places as such that they would have a time frame on it. They'd give 5 minutes for this and 2 or 3 minutes for that. And they'd have their prayer that they was going to pray written down so everybody could read it. I've been to those type places. And it saddens me because you know the Spirit of the Lord is not there. You go into those places and you go in and they try, and like I said this afternoon there at Chandler Park, you go into those places and you feel the people there are genuine and they welcome you in to, with them, and they're as friendly as can be. But when the service starts, you can't feel the Spirit. I feel for those type of places. Knowing one time that I was attending those type of places regular because I didn't know better. I thank God for my wife. She knew the right way. I thank her for bringing me here to this place where I heard the truth. Went to other places when I started hearing the truth, and I'm not going to get into all that, but went to other places because I kept wanting to hear the Word of God and what the preachers had to say because there was something tugging at me. I pray tonight if the Lord tugs at your heart that you would make a move toward Him. The scriptures that I've got on my heart, they should be very familiar to you. You heard them this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. I want to pause right there for just a moment. Those people there, it says that they were gathered together in the street as one man. If we think about that, to gather as one man, they all have to have the same thing on their hearts and on their minds, to be there as one person. I want to say tonight, every child of God needs to be in that frame of mind. They need to have their hearts in the place where when they come into God's house, it's to come there to worship God. I thank God this morning. It was already mentioned about brothers and sisters that came here this morning and how they felt free. That's the way we ought to feel. Anytime we go into God's house, when God moves upon our heart, we need to be willing. And you know, that's a big thing. We need to be willing to do what He gives us to do at that exact moment. We don't need to sit there and think about it. We don't need to sit there and think, well, I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to do this. If God's putting it on your heart, you're not going to be a fool. It's the right thing to do. And it's the right thing to do right then. How many times have you heard people get up and give their testimonies? How many times has it affected you in your heart where the Lord would start stirring within you? How many times have you seen it? From my understanding, it happened in this very house last week. The Lord got in there and He got to stirring, and the people stand up and they praise God. How much better can you get? Think about heaven. If you didn't like that service, you're not going to like heaven. Because it's going to be a time when you can rejoice and you can praise God with all that you have, with all your heart. And you won't want to stop. Here in this world, we get tired, we get weak. But you know, we won't there. We won't ever get to the place where we get tired of it. We'll love it more than ever. Each and every moment, we'll love it even more. Those people, they gathered themselves together in the street. They was asking Ezra to bring the book of the law that God had commanded. They recognized that those words that were pinned down in that book were from God. There was no doubt about it. Those words were from God. They recognized it as the law. Nowadays, we have the laws in the books and up at the courthouse, and we have our laws that we live by in our cities and in our towns. We have those laws, and those things are good. We need to have those things. But people, we need to recognize that what God gave us, the laws that are within this book, still apply. They override anything. If there's anything in this world that contradicts the Word of God, we need to take that Word right there over it. No questions. We need to take that Word of God and apply it and use it, because it will tear all those other things down. Verse 2 says, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women." You know, Ezra the priest, I have to say, I think within my own heart that Ezra was more than glad to bring that law out there to share with the people. He would bring it out there. And that's the way that the men of God ought to be today. Anytime, any place, anywhere. You know, any of us that have been called to preach, we need to be willing to go and do those things. We have men today that are in Jamaica. We have Brother Damon that's going down to Panama City faithfully to preach the Word. Is he getting a big congregation? I don't believe so. But yet, those people, those few people need to hear. If there's one person that comes in to be, that gets converted and gets their soul gets saved, ain't that worth it? It's worth it all. Pray for our brethren. Pray for me as I try to stand here tonight. You know, I'm not capable of doing anything on my own. Nothing whatsoever. It's God that gives me the strength. Pray that this mind will go away. It says he brought the book, he brought the law before the congregation of both men and women, all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. All those people that could hear with understanding. That's telling me that those people that come there and gathered themselves together, that they knew the Lord. They was there, and even though they knew the Lord already, they wanted to come and they wanted to hear more. They wanted to know more about their God. Jesus says, "Learn of me. Learn of me." How better can we learn of our Lord and Savior Jesus and the love He has for all of mankind, not just ourselves, but all of mankind? How can we learn more than being on our knees in prayer and talking to Him directly? It's a great privilege that we have to be able to go to Him and talk to Him anytime, anywhere. It says, "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday." Now, I want you to understand, from morning until midday in that time, that was from when the sun come up until noon. What are we talking? 5-7 hours? Today, we come into the Lord's house. We come in, we start at midday, and we stop before the midday hour ends. And we think that we're there and we've done our duty. The Lord's work don't stop. It goes from the time the sun's up until our life, the sun sets on our lives. From the time we're saved until the time we're called home. That's when our time of duty is. It doesn't end. I tried to visit there at a church. I say church. There in Amarillo, and I visited there, and there was a couple that sat in front of me. They got to talking with me, and we got to talking, and he said that he pastored a church at so-and-so for so many years, and he just felt that he was going to retire, stop preaching. I couldn't help but think to myself, did the Lord tell you that? You know, when the Lord calls you to preach, you have a lifetime job, and that's just my feelings about it. You have a lifetime job. There's no retirement there until He calls you to your final home. And you know what? I feel it's the same way with the children of God. When He saves your soul, you become a servant. That's all I am, is just a servant of God, a weak one. But that's all we all are, is just servants to our Father in heaven. The question is, do we serve Him when He asks us to? When He puts something on our heart. You know, you hear, and I've heard other preachers say this, you know, why is it that we think that we have to get the banging in our heart and our almost have a heart attack before we stand up and do what the Lord gives us to do? Why do we do that? We know that when we do, from past experience, the blessings are there and they come abundantly. Why do we do that? Because we start thinking with our minds instead of letting our heart, where Jesus is, take over. We need to do that. When we hesitate, there may be someone in the presence that God knows that only you are able to get through to that person. You have the words to say that will bring them to the place where they could understand what they need to do for the salvation of their soul. Think about that. How great of a responsibility is that? It might just be one person. Brother Joey Hayes made an illustration one time in the Sunday school class downstairs. He brought this candelabra in, and turned the lights off and lit one candle. You could see it flicker, light another candle, get a little brighter, you go around and you keep lighting those candles. That light grew. People, we can be just like that light. If we allow God to use us in the way that He would have us to be used, when He gives us something to do and we do that, that one soul, that one person that He gives us to talk to, they can talk to another, and they can talk to another, and they can talk to another. And it just keeps building. If we would do that, people would get saved. there would be more that would be saved and know the Lord that would be in the places of, let's call it, power. You think about our government today, those people up there, they're all about the party. That's what it is. It's all about the party. It's not about the people. We're going to win. We're going to win. We got to do this. We're going to win. This party's going to win. And I'm not talking about one or the other. I'm talking about them all. It's not about me. It's not about me winning. It's about that lost soul finding their way to the Lord. They are the winners. They are the winners because they gain all of heaven. I'm the richest man in the world. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. They can be too. When we're saved, we're adopted. We are the children of the Lord. Think of our lives. Do we act like it every day? I fail. I'm going to skip down to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands and bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Those people back in that day, not only did they know the Lord, they gave him great reverence. When Ezra opened up that book and he placed it, he was there on the pulpit, and I think, and I may be wrong, and Brother Miller can correct me, but I think the pulpits that they're talking about was a big wooden structure that they built that those priests would stand upon the top of it. So all the people would be able to see and their voices would carry out. They didn't have the luxury of the PA systems and all those things. They'd stand them up and they'd bring them up above. Their places of worship didn't have the fancy seats and the floor that rised up so you could see over the people in the front and be able to see the person that was doing the speaking. They raised them up, the pulpit of wood. And he'd bring that book, and they, when they asked him to do it, excuse me. He would take that book and he opened it up. All the people there, it said, stood up because they reverenced God. They were giving respect to the Lord their God. They raised their hands and they'd look down, and I could see them when they pray within my own mind. I can see them bowed down with their heads because they felt that they weren't worthy to even look up to God. People today, we're not worthy to look up to Him. We're not. Not a one of us. God Himself is the one that saved your soul. There wasn't a one of us that did anything of ourselves. Those of us that are truly saved, we didn't do nothing ourselves to get us in that position. It was God. When He sent His only begotten Son into this world, He came into this world and He taught. He taught those disciples. And what did he tell them to do before he went back to his Father? Go out into all the world. All the world. Yes, Bowling Green, Kentucky is part of the world. And we need to be here. And we are plentiful with preachers. And I'm going to go on my own toes. I'm going to put them right out here in the aisle. We need to be out there in those other places. Those men that are willing to go out there to Jamaica and to Panama City and all these other places. These nursing homes and these care places. They are so important. Those people are so hungry. I've stood there at the Christian Health Care Center before, and Brother Mike will tell you the same thing. We used to be right out there in the front lobby. They used to let us stand right there in the front lobby, and those girls that there at the reception desk. I've seen it be preaching, and the tears running down their face. Brothers, we need to be in a place ourselves. I'm talking to me and my toes are sore too. We need to be in a place where we're willing to go and to talk to those people, to preach to them. That's what the Lord gave us to do. Not only those of us that's called to preach, but the children of God. Just like I said this afternoon, the Bible tells us, God's Word tells us, let the redeemed say so. Tell people your testimony. It's an experience you had with God. It's something you know about. It's something you have within your heart. Don't hoard it up in there. Share it with the world. It needs it. Look at it. We're getting in such a sad shape today. Amen. You know, just like I said, you go out there, and what Brother Miller said about the places you go that have these things written down, and they have a schedule. We're going to do this at 10:05. We're going to do this at 10:08. We're going to do this, and the preaching's going to last this long, and they cut it right on the nose. Pray for me that I never. To me, that clock don't need to be in here. I don't look at it when I start. I don't look at it when I finish. I talk until the Lord's done with me and I quit. And that's what every man of God needs to do. It doesn't matter about, you know, it's telling about how that they was there from morning until midday, and I'm sure that there was times that those people got hungry. But I bet you not a one of them complained. They was there to hear the Word of God. They wanted to learn. How are we going to tell people about our God if we don't learn about Him? How are we going to learn about Him if we don't seek after Him? We tell the lost to seek after God. And they should, and we should keep doing that. Seek and you shall find. But yet, we, as God's children, we need to keep seeking after Him. Amen. We need to keep seeking after Him and digging in there. Sometimes you hear people, and I said this before too, but it's still true. You hear a lot of people say how hard it is. I just don't understand the Bible when I read it. I just don't understand. There's things that I don't understand. But you know what? When I don't, that makes you want to dig in there a little deeper. That makes you want to look at it a little bit deeper in there. Then you start asking God to help you. And all of a sudden you see these things. You see these things turning about, and the understanding comes. How many times have you heard a preacher preach on the Scriptures? And then you hear another preacher preach on the same scriptures and the message is going a different way. How many times have you heard that? Many, I'm sure. But you know what? God gave us these words, and they apply to anything and everything that we will encounter in this life. Those scriptures tells us what we need to do every day of our life. We need to get in there. It's God's Word. And you know what? When we get in there, the most precious times that I have when I'm studying, I'll get down and I'll get not being not understanding anything, and I'll get down and I'll pray. And the Lord comes in. And the Lord calls. He causes you to understand. It's one of the most beautiful times that you can have. You know, we have a beautiful time just like y'all did here in this place here last Sunday morning. The people standing up and testifying, and to think how you felt during that. It was wonderful, wasn't it? But you know, you don't even have to be in a congregation of people to feel that. You can be at home in your bed. You can be home in your study. You can be driving down the road. I've been driving down the road and the tears rolling down my face. Get to singing a song with the radio and then turn it off and start singing it to yourself to the top of your lungs. Get the biggest blessing you ever had in your life. You look over and somebody's looking at you. Well, look at that fool. But you know what? It don't matter. It don't matter. If the Lord's in there and the Lord's with it, it's worth it all. Amen. It's worth it all. That's just like one lost soul being saved. It's worth all that any of us can do. The additions we put on the church here, back here, the money that that the congregation spends upon this building, it's great. Now, let's get out there. The hedges and the highways, compel them to come in. It's in the Word of God. Compel them to come in. That's not saying grab them by the shirt collar and drag them. Tell them your testimony. Tell them how great it feels when the Lord comes by and touches you. Compel them. You tell them your testimony, they might get curious. And that's okay too. That's okay too. Bring them into the Lord's house. We have a fine pastor that preaches the truth. God can use the preaching. God can use the testimonies. God can use the handshakes. And I know that He uses when someone touches you on the shoulder when you're in trouble. I know that from my own experience. Let's not give up. Let's just keep going. Keep going. The song we sang earlier talked about laying our trophies down. What are our trophies? I think about Paul when he went up on Myers Hill. I didn't know I was going to get into all of this, but that's okay. The Lord's leading me. I think about Paul when he went up on Mars Hill and he saw all these things that those people had made, all these idols and all these things. Had the one to the unknown God. Him I declare unto you, he said. We need to be declaring him today. There's so many idols in this world. An idol doesn't have to be a little statue. It doesn't have to be a tangible thing that you can trust. An idol can be the TV shows on that keep you from coming into God's house. That can be an idol. Anything whatsoever that you put before serving the Lord can be your idol. Let's not let those things take control. Let's let God have His way with us. And I promise you, if we do that, we'll see more people saved. We'll have more brothers and sisters in the Lord. We will have a better country. We won't have all these things that are so far-fetched that are going on now, and I'm not going to bring any of that up. We wouldn't have all those far-fetched things going on. Remember, the Lord destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah for the very things that are going on here in this country today. He saved Lot because he was a righteous man. I think that's why he's allowing us to stay here today, this day. Because of the few. But yet we need to be many. We need to be like those candles that keep getting lit and it keeps getting brighter. And we can do that if we focus on God and less upon ourselves. That's what the Lord gave me today, and I hope it's a benefit and a help to you. I do ask for your prayers. I'll be leaving again Tuesday to go back to Texas. You know, when I'm away like that and I can't find any place, I thank God that the internet can be a good thing as well as the bad stuff. I can watch services. I can hear the Word of God. But you know what? I can sit there and I can pray. And I can feel the Lord's presence with me. There are people there on the job site that, you know, there's some people that you just can't get them to listen. They're so hard-headed, they just won't listen to you. They just turn and walk away. But on the same token, do we turn and walk away when they start getting of a bad color? And I'm talking about language. I'm talking about all those type of things. Do we turn away to make that statement?